Well, good morning, everyone. So good to have you in our service today. We deeply appreciate you being here. And as somebody would say after George Beverly, Shay would sing sometimes, and George Yontz would sing sometimes. If you can't preach after that, your wood must be wet. So isn't that just wonderful to see that on the first Sunday in December, to see six wonderful individuals who have committed their life to Christ to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We're so glad that you're here today, and you that are guests today, and you that came especially for the baptismal service, we are so thankful that you're here. And you that came to see our young ladies, Naomi, where are you at? Is Naomi here? And I know she's way up there. Thank you for the time that you spend. In the prayer room this morning, Eric Hammond said something in his prayer that resounded with me as never before. There's no one individual that can take credit for what you just witnessed. The person that mows the grass, the person that vacuums the building, the person that repairs the building, the person that keeps everything going, every one of you as individual believers in Christ. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I started something after I came over here to Dutch Fork. A few of you questioned me about it, but I allowed you to be wrong, if you remember. How sweet it was to see Tim French baptize his daughter. You see, the ordinance of baptism wasn't given to the pastor. It was given to the church. When you study the scripture, it was given to the church. And so we began to start practicing something here. And it was such a blessing for me to sit there this morning and to be able to just watch and hear and just listen and observe as each one of those individuals came into that baptismal water and received the ordinance of baptism. We lost one of our dear members yesterday morning, actually Friday morning, about 1:50. And that visitation for Harold Fields is this afternoon at Thompson Funeral Home. It's not going to be in the paper, so listen carefully. From 5 to 7, Thompson Funeral Home, east of I-20 in Lexington. If you're heading back towards West Columbia, it's on US 1 on the left. And that visitation is from 5 to 7. Now listen carefully. The funeral will be Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday at 1 o'clock at Celestial Memorial Gardens. And that's on Del Rey Street in West Columbia. If you go out US 1, turn right on Watling Road. First street to your left is Del Rey Street. And the cemetery is there on your right. So I would encourage those of you that knew Harold and Doris. Doris does not know anyone. Leon was able to visit with Harold this week, and we appreciate that so much, and we would have never thought that Leon came back and shared that he seemed to be doing well. But God in his providence called him home to be with him. So we ask you that you pray for this family, because Ms. Doris does not even know that she lost a husband. How sad that is that she will not even be able to attend the service of a husband. And the reason I'm not hugging and kissing today and I'm staying is because my wife has the flu, my twins have the flu, our twins have the flu, and their mama, Joni, has the flu as well. And I had the flu last Sunday when I was here, so if I made you sick, and some of you want to be sick, just come on up and hug me, okay? All right. Having said that, take your Bibles and turn to the little book of Ruth. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Now, I'm going to let you remain seated this morning there because I'm going to be reading from a number of passages, but the little book of Ruth, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. We're going to look at a few verses there, and then we're going to look into Micah, right before Micah is considered one of those minor prophets because the little book's real short in the time period it was written in. And then we're going to look in Luke and we're going to look in John. So I know you don't need to stand for all that, but in honor of the reading of the Word of God, would you please take a copy of the Word of God that is found there on the pew, or either use your smartphone, pull up Ruth chapter 1. In Ruth chapter 1, we find the story that begins this message today. And I hope to be able to close this message by putting a bow around the package, so to speak, and wrapping it in the love of Christ and what He has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. But in Ruth chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took themselves wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women were bereaved of her two sons and her husband." Now turn with me to the little book of Micah. In the little book of Micah, we find a prophecy in regard to Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He that hath laid siege against us, they shall smite the judge of Israel with the rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Now turn to the little book of Luke, and we're going to read a few verses out of Luke's gospel regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, registered. And this taxation, the registration, was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered or taxed with his wife, Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 32 through verse 44 in John's Gospel. So turn there with me, please, as we look at this together. John chapter 6 and verse 32. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him," now I want you to notice this statement, okay? "Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." This is one of the seven I ams in John's gospel. "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not." Did you see that? "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will who hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son," listen carefully, "and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, how easy it is for us to discredit the word of God." I want you to think about that, because the crux of this message this morning is discrediting the word of God in our life. How easy it is for us to do that. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion lived in Bethlehem. They lived in Bethlehem because Bethlehem meant the house of bread, or the bread of life, or the word of God. Notice very distinctly that the scripture tells us the meaning of Bethlehem. The word of God, the authoritative, inerrant, infallible word of God that is truth without any mixture of error. God's word is forever settled in heaven. There's one way and one way only. I hear this statement. I have said this last Sunday. I will say it again next Sunday if the Lord tarries and I'm here. I hear people say all the time, there are many roads leading to God. We're all going in the same direction. No, we're not. Unless you believe in the death and the burial of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you have trusted the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became God, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There is not any truth apart from Jesus Christ. The word Micah prophesied that Jesus would be the bread of life. Micah prophesied that Jesus would be born in Judea. I took one of my Bibles last night and I opened it. It has a number, not all, but it has a number of the references throughout Scripture to the prophetic prophecy relating to the first advent as we were lighting the advent candles today. As we anticipate the celebration of His first advent, I want you to understand there will be a second advent. He will come again, but He will not come again as a babe born in the manger. He will not come again as the Savior of the world. He will come again as the judge of all mankind. So I ask you today, in what are you trusting for your salvation? Where have you placed your faith? In a denomination? Even in baptism? Even in the Lord's Supper? Even in your good works? Even in your wonderful deeds? There are many civic organizations today that do marvelous and wonderful things. I was a part of a meeting on Friday morning at Ameris Bank on North Lake Boulevard. And there, that bank presented to the snack packs for the kids in our schools right here in Lexington 5. We have just hundreds of kids that go home on Friday hungry and have nothing to eat from Saturday and Sunday until they get back to school on Monday. And so snack packs are prepared by a number of wonderful civic organizations and wonderful churches involved in that. Just as we furnish the Blue House for families to come and stay in, and just as all those, and how great and how wonderful it was for Matt Brown to bring his wonderful Dutch Fork basketball team and help Leon and those of you that came and worked yesterday to prepare that house. But listen to me this morning and hear what I'm about to say. Unless you are born in the Word of God, unless you have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you have trusted Him and Him alone and nothing else for your Lord and your Savior, unless you have repented of your sins and turned to Him through faith in Him and what He did for you and I that we could never do for ourselves. Jesus is the bread of life. Now what happened is in this case, and it's very easy for us to do. As believers, it's easy for us to do. Elimelech, Naomi being an obedient wife, and the two sons, they left Bethlehem, Judea, but they left Bethlehem, Judea because of a famine. And in 10 years' time, Naomi had lost her husband and she had lost her two sons. Listen to me very carefully this morning. I want you to understand this context, how easy it is for us at Christmas time, how great it is. I love Christmas. If you go listen to my expedition right now and turn on the radio, I've got 6 CDs in there that have Christmas song after Christmas song. I've been playing them since August. I love Christmas. Christmas excites me, church. I listened to it all the way over here this morning, and I'm charged up. I want you to know that. I'm charged up. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to understand this morning, anytime you leave the Word of God, it is a lack of trust and faith in God. God would have taken care of them in Bethlehem, because Bethlehem was the house of bread. My friend, anytime you leave the Word of God for anything else, it is a lack of faith and trust and confidence in God. And listen to me. It brings death and destruction. Judah means praise. Not only did they leave the place of bread, where God would provide for them, you see, the enemy is so real. Listen to me. He's so real. He gets our eyes off of here, down here, and we begin to look at our circumstances, and we begin to see where we are, and we begin to think, well, I've got to do something. Listen, you're not in control. God's in control. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. He will see you through whatever comes to you. That's what Christmas is all about. They left the place of praise. Did you know my Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people? When you stop, listen to me, when you run from the problem, when you run from the issue, the first thing you do is try to handle things yourself. And every time you try to handle things yourself, it brings death and destruction. Thank God for His providential will. You know the rest of the story if you know your Bible. You know that after she lost her husband and her 2 sons, she asked her 2 daughters to return with her, or she told them they could stay. And you remember that Naomi chose to go back with her. And you remember, listen carefully, and you remember that Naomi ended up marrying somebody by the name of Boaz. And you remember who Boaz was, don't you? I want to shout. Boaz was the great granddaddy of King David. David was born in Bethlehem. I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Have you been born in Bethlehem? If you haven't, you haven't been born again. If you have not been born, you see, the moment you leave the praise of God, kings are always born in Bethlehem. Do you know who you are this morning? Do you understand your rights and your privileges? Do you understand that you are joint heir with the Son in the kingdom? One day we are promised to rule and reign with Him. As kings and priests, take your Bible and read it into the book of Revelation. The famine came. It was temporary. But they used it as an excuse. And that's how Satan robbed them of the blessings. The enemy is always temporary. Understand where God is, where Jesus is, where the Holy Spirit is. The enemy is always temporary. God created him. He didn't create God. He's greater than God. He listen to me. God created him. He's not greater than God. He's not greater than Jesus. But anytime we succumb, don't permit the temporary to rob you. You're going to be busy this Christmas season. I'm already behind. My yard's not decorated. I'm taking care of, believe it or not, I think I did a pretty good job yesterday and Friday taking care of my sick wife and running errands for Jody and the babies as well. But listen carefully. We'll all get so busy this Christmas season if we're not careful. We'll miss worshiping. We'll miss praising God. And we'll come to the end of the Christmas season and we'll just be, whew, And then all of a sudden in January, all those credit card bills start coming in. And we'll find ourselves in a pit of despair. We'll find ourselves in a famine. And if we're not careful, that's what Satan wants to do with us. They used the famine. Death and destruction came. When you leave the Word of God and praise for the comfort and pleasure of this world, death and destruction are always sure to follow. Always. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you been born in Bethlehem? Those of you that are members here and that know me know that this past year my wife and I faced two surgeries. One we were looking for and we were prepared somewhat for it, but the other one we weren't looking for. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, church. And I still don't have my right mind back. Some of you all know that already, but when they put you to sleep twice, I have a good excuse, by the way. I've been put to sleep twice this year, so I've got a good excuse. If I forget something, if I leave something out, I just remind Roma, you know what happened to me. They put me to sleep twice, you know. I'm recovering from anesthesia, so take that in consideration when you talk to them if I act a little strange around you. If I don't remember who you... No, I'm just kidding. Listen. I stood in this pulpit and I declared the Word of God. I spoke to you all and I said, God has this and God will raise me up, and He has. See what Moab means? Moab means death and destruction. Have you been born in the Word? Is the Word alive in your heart this morning? Kings, they're always born in Bethlehem. You're a king and a priest. You're joint heirs with the Son in the kingdom. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Most believers that I run into are waiting for it to happen. I want you to know it already has. And I want you to understand what I'm about to say here personally. That is not future. It's now. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He gave you and I the authority over everything that we face in our life in His name and through His Word. Whatever we face, whatever we deal with, and if we're not repeating myself, but I want you to get the point. If we're not careful, when the trials and the tribulations and the troubles come to us, the testing, the time of testing, 10 in the Bible, by the way. How many years were they in Moab? 10 years. 10 is always a period of testing. Listen to me. Anytime you walk away from the promises of God and the Word that He has spoken, anytime you walk away from those promises, God's going to put you in a period of testing. God's going to put you in a period of trials. I hear people tell me this all the time, Pastor, you just wouldn't believe the way my faith grew in that trial or that trouble. No. Your faith didn't grow there. Your faith was tried there. Your faith was tested there. The purity of your faith, more precious than gold, tried by fire. Let me read you something. You need to hear this. I know I have it in here somewhere. Here it is. When gold is tried by fire, it's heated to over 1,700 degrees. You remember the three Hebrew children in the furnace? You remember how many times hotter they heated the furnace? and not even a hair of the head was singed. Why? Because they went into that trial, they went into that test, they went into that period of time knowing their God. And their answer to King Nebuchadnezzar was, remember? O king, listen. Whether our God delivers us or not, we will not bow. Huh? I said to somebody the other day, I wonder what I would do. I think I know what I would do, but I wonder. When the trials and the troubles and the tribulation comes, why was he born in Bethlehem? Because it's where kings are born. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Start living like who you are. You're a king. That's not future. Yes, we're going to rule and reign with him one day, but you're a king now. You're a priest now. You have direct, listen to me, you don't have to go through me. Yeah, as wonderful as Leon is, loving to peace, Jared, Matt, Jeannie, Robin. Did I miss anybody? Naomi. I told you. Anesthesia. As wonderful as all of our deacons are, there's some godly men and women in this church that, yes, we'll pray for you, but listen, you are a king right now. You are a joint heir now. It's not something you're waiting on. It's now, today. Start believing it and start living that way. Give God a hand of praise for it. You were born in Bethlehem. Kings are born in Bethlehem. They are born in the Word of God, and the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot, not one tittle of the Word of God shall ever be removed. Start standing on the Word and declare the Word over whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're dealing with in your life. Are you ready for my last slide? Oh. Naomi does such a beautiful job at our slide, y'all. And when I pulled that up on my laptop and I looked at it, I just began to weep. I just began to weep. That's why he came. That's why the Word came. That's why the Word was born in Bethlehem, to be broken for you, that you might be born again. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. That you might be born over and over and over and over in the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. And his promises to us. Why is that so significant? Because, my friend, listen to me. The thief came for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's not future. That's today. Start believing and living like who you are. Start ruling and reigning now. You have the name of Jesus, and you have his inerrant and infallible word that is truth without any mixture of error, that cannot be broken, never altered, never changed. Have you been born today in the Word? Is God speaking to you again afresh and anew today? Or are you living on what you heard 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Get in the Word. Bethlehem. Get in the Word. And be born in the Word. You know the beautiful thing about being born? Don't miss this. You can never be unborn. Hello? Y'all know anybody that's been unborn? Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Five most important words in the Bible to anybody that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. You must be born again. Born every day in the Word. Listen to me. I go to sleep eating the Word. I wake up eating the Word. Throughout the day, I just told you, I listened all the way over. I'll listen all the way going home. Every day coming to work, I listen. Been doing it since August. You know why? Because it keeps my heart focused on the Word. One day I was on a trip to Greenwood. I couldn't help it. I cranked the volume all the way up, and I called Janie French. I said, listen. I wanted to hear it. You know what it was, Leon? Emmanuel. God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel. This is my body, which was broken for you. That little baby. The Word is broken so that you can understand it, so that you can receive it, so that you can chew on it, so that you can digest it, and so that it'll give you life, life.